Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In Germany, Facebook will soon test a fake news filtering tool, prompted in part by a proposed German law that would fine up to $500 or more for every piece of misinformation posted and not removed by Facebook within 24 hours. In the U.S., there's, of course, been alarm about fake news, not just teenagers in foreign countries making money off fake news sites, but Russia spreading fake news through paid trolls and botnets, portraying Hillary Clinton as a criminal hiding potentially fatal health problems, an example of from the Washington Post. And now U.S. news organizations and Facebook have brought in the fact-checking website Snopes.com. Snopes has long debunked urban legends, but now it's hired extra researchers and amped up its news-checking services. Brooke Binkowski is managing editor at Snopes. Brooke, what's your sense of fake news?
I think that fake news is kind of a misnomer. I think what we should start calling it now to separate it out from the sort of satirical stuff that we've seen for years is propaganda. Because what we're looking at is really propaganda from outside the United States and from within the United States. Whether or not it's intended ideologically or if it's just something that people are doing for fun or for some extra cash, it's politicized, it's meant to evoke some kind of emotional response and reaction and get people to think a certain way.
Well, you've got, for instance, James Dowd. This is the Brit who runs something called Patriot News. He was for the Brexit, fought for that. He's a fan of Putin. He's spoken in Russia. He's linked to Russian Facebook. And according to the New York Times, he pumped out pro-Trump stories about Hillary Clinton's ties to Satanism and pedophilia and says that is his mission, to get those kinds of stories into America so that Trump could win.
There's that kind of ideological news that, or I can't even call it news because a lot of it is so fake. They mix a little truth in it to make it believable, and then the rest of it is just meant to make you angry generally, or upset you in some way, or make you afraid. And that's really dangerous, especially when it's almost impossible to tell it apart from real news when you're looking at the way the website's set up and things like that. There are people, of course, a lot of people on the left and the right who say, well, it doesn't matter. My point stands. It doesn't matter if it's actually true. I've actually heard this argument a lot. And I think that that comes from this sort of extra polarized environment, plus a healthy dollop of identity politics, wherein you end up with the situation where how you feel is more important than the actual fact.
Give us some examples.
Look at how tenacious the birther myth has been, that President Obama was not born in Kenya. The fact that there is no proof that he was born anywhere but where he says he was has not deterred any of the entrenched birther types. There's this one particularly tenacious myth, almost as tenacious as the birther one, which was that Hillary Clinton, when she was a young lawyer, defended a child rapist and then laughed about it later when she was talking to an interviewer about it. If you listen to the actual recording, she says something to the effect of, "That was how I learned that lie detector tests aren't always accurate." And she laughs in this sort of this ironic kind of bitter lesson learned kind of way. And then that was used as a way to inform people of the other extremely tenacious new one, which was, of course, Pizzagate, where Hillary Clinton is apparently complicit in running a child sex trafficking ring out of a pizza parlor in Washington, D.C.
Well, in that one, a man believed it so much that he took up a gun and drove to the pizza parlor to try to liberate the non-existent child sex slaves. Look, those are clear. And let's explain how Snopes works for those who haven't gone online. You have tons of researchers. You lay things out in a very direct way, and you say whether something is true or false or maybe muddied, you know, whether you don't have a true or false conclusion. It's very easy to debunk a child sex slave ring in the basement of a pizza place. But how else do you do research when there are so many opinions about so many different things? How do you get at the truth of something?
Well, we do just old-fashioned reporting, talking to people in the community and pulling public records, pulling together data. We do a lot of stuff by phone. There's a lot of online research we can do with all the online databases, but there's no magic bullet. It's just reporting.
Well, but how hard has it gotten, given that, you know, when Snopes first started, you were doing things like, you know, whether or not there's alligators in manholes, you know, urban myths. But now you have people who reject anything that doesn't fit their own sense of what true is.
Their own narrative, yeah. We've gotten into this sort of like post-postmodernism that's like there's no actual truth or reality. But it hasn't become any harder to debunk anything. It's just that there's so much more right now. It comes from the extreme left. It comes from the extreme right. You've got the chemtrail people. You've got the anti-vaxxers. You've got the Russia responsible for anything that's going wrong. You've got the Russia is our ally and they would never do anything. Everything is extremely confusing at the moment for most people.
Well, you talk about the recent memos that the intelligence agencies were said to have discussed with Donald Trump and Barack Obama that indicated that Russia not only colluded with the Trump campaign, but that the Russians might have salacious information on Donald Trump that could make him blackmailable. As you say, these are completely unverified reports. You also do things like come down the middle on something and let the readers decide. And I'm looking at your article that's really trending now about Donald Trump criticized for mocking a disabled reporter. First of all, you have side-by-side pictures of that reporter, Serge Kovalsky, with an arm twisted by a syndrome that he has, and a picture of Donald Trump appearing to mock that exact disability. You have Serge saying he was on a first-name basis with Donald Trump, interviewed him 15 or so times. Next to Donald Trump saying, I've never met him, I don't know who he is. And you let the readers decide.
We couldn't really make a judgment call one way or the other because he has sort of the advantage of plausible deniability, Trump does. He said that he just was waving his arms around as he talked. But if you watch the video, which we have on the site, you can kind of decide for yourself. One of the things that we tried to do is not get into anybody's head. So we just kind of put it out side by side, lay everything out for the reader to decide for themselves.
What are some of the websites, and they're on the right and the left, but what are some of the websites or the news sources that you know are going to have some falsehoods?
So AssociatedMediaCoverage.com has been one that doesn't seem to print anything factual. But it's always very timely. And then there's another one called politicallow.com. So it's political and then a no. Basically, it's one paragraph is true, and then the second paragraph is not true. And then you have to figure out for yourself what's true after that. And there's newslow.com. And basically, they call themselves satire. But if you don't know any better, you are basically taken in by this. And then there's the sites that have gone just completely partisan one way or the other. Natural News is another repeat offender. Breitbart, of course. And the redlineofdefense.org. They don't publish anything factual. It's all satire. But they end up creating a stir because they seem to be really good at figuring out what's going to make people angry and upset.
Well, you mentioned Breitbart, which of course was run until recently by the now top advisor to Donald Trump. And they've been accused of everything from editing a Missouri professor's words in the classroom to make it appear like they're backing violence in the labor rights movement to saying that Planned Parenthood had its roots in Nazism. What is your sense of Breitbart?
I don't think of them as fake news at all, but I do think that they have a definite slant and they have a definite outcome in mind. It seems that they are becoming more and more protectionist and nationalistic, and their stories reflect that.
And you're sort of on the receiving end of somebody who's worked quite a bit for Breitbart accusing you of printing something false about him.
So there was a guy who is accused of planning to infiltrate the Women's March on Washington the day after the inauguration and start rabble-rousing and do, you know, provocateur stuff. And so this rumor's been going around Facebook, so we looked into it and tried to debunk it. We pasted the Facebook message, and it says, the guy is James O'Keefe, and it says that James O'Keefe is a domestic terrorist. And we quoted this in order to debunk it. That's kind of our standard. He did a screenshot of that part where it says he's a domestic terrorist and said that we were calling him a domestic terrorist. And that was annoying. But what was more annoying is that people couldn't be bothered to go to the website itself and look at the actual article. And that's the kind of thing we have been up against quite a lot lately.
Brooke Binkowski, managing editor at Snopes.com, speaking to us from San Diego. Brooke, we'll link people up. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.